Hello everyone. My name is Rahul. I'm a big ODF fan, and luckily even the co-host for today's session. When I heard the ODF community conversation topic was on understanding operating models, I was very, very fascinated. And when I heard that Harris and Imran were going to facilitate it, my interest totally skyrocketed. So great to be here today. A bit about Harris and Imran. Harris is the founder and CEO of Pragmatium Consulting Group. It's a global boutique management consulting firm that advises management on strategy, organization, transformational change, and leadership challenges. Harris has more than 30 years of experience as an organizational design and change expert and has been advancing the field of organization design by speaking and contributing at multiple conferences and webinars. He's an active member of the ODF as well. Imran is a senior management consultant at Pragmatium. He has 18 years of combined work experience in consulting, project management, and software development. He is very passionate about org design and advises clients on leadership matters, which include strategy alignment and operating models. So it's safe to say that we are in safe hands, and I'm truly excited about our time together. Harris and Imran, over to you.
Thank you, Rahul, and thanks for raising expectations on this session for us. I think before we begin, I wanna thank a few people. I think the inception of this came probably at the last conference in Philly in a conversation that I had with Cynthia Escamilla, and then we followed up on that with my dear friend Carlos, who's here. Who suggested that yes, let's just definitely, you know, this is a topic. There's a lot of interest in this, so let's do this. So, and then, you know, couldn't have done this without the support of Rahul's guidance on this, Tanya's support, and then Imran and I just put together a conversation. So as we begin, you know, so great to see so many of you signed up here and lots of familiar faces and some new faces. Tanya tells me from around the globe, which speaks to the great platform that we built here. And for those who may not be familiar, these are really designed as conversations. And especially given the topic, you know, certainly, yes, we have experience doing this. And I was saying this to a small group this morning that, you know, while we speak about this and advise our clients on this stuff, I must admit that I had some trepidation this morning because I know who I'm speaking with. These are fellow consultants, many of them who I deeply respect, have thought about this and have worked in this space. So I see our role here as merely facilitators of the topic. And that we hope that through this dialogue and through this conversation that takes place, we all walk away with different perspectives and perhaps enriched, including ourselves. So we don't pretend that we're coming from an expert lens. So, shall we begin our discussion here? And I think what we want to do, Tanya, is we want to begin right off the bat with a goal.
Reminds me of like a horse race, neck and neck. All right, well, I think the poll results support the intent of being here today. Share the results.
Aha. Well, you know, if y'all had said that you're 100% clear, it would have been a very short conversation. We would have shut this down and given you an hour back. Yeah, that's exactly what we would have expected as we thought about this. Yeah, it's interesting that I was doing a program. I think I saw in the audience one of my co-conspirators on a previous version of this type of a session we did in Dubai earlier 6 months ago, Randy Stott, and he said to me that the more recently, the more that he reads about the subject, he gets more confused about this. So I'm glad to see that, you know, we got a few people who are saying they're confused about this, but the vast majority, you know, somewhat clear on this stuff and looking for more clarity. So I think that is a good sign. Okay, so as we thought about designing this conversation, we wanted to kind of do it through two lenses. One, let's get some definitional clarity in place. What is an operating model? And we'll use the abbreviation OM that you see a lot in the industry. So I'll use that as a shorthand if you would allow. And why is it so difficult to define it? And then secondly, given that we are all, I think the vast majority of people here are in the consulting space, either externally or in some cases internally, what client challenges rather are we facing while we're advising our clients on OMs? And then more importantly, how have we made any breakthroughs on that? What has worked, what hasn't worked? So we've designed a couple of breakout sessions where you'll have an opportunity in a smaller setting to share your ideas and enrich everyone's learning with that stuff. So that's sort of how we will go through this. We did this was, I think, about 9 months ago. We were thinking about the subject in the context of a client engagement and wanted to sort of see what's out there. So we did a post on LinkedIn on what is an OM. And in that case, it was around a target operating model, which is referred to as a TOM. And we got 14,000 hits, impressions on the post. And to give you a benchmark, we typically don't get that kind of a reaction. So it told us that there's a lot of interest in the subject and perhaps confusion. And then as we were researching this, we did a simple Google search on operating model images, and we got this, which you see in front of you, which is a myriad of different approaches, visualizations, if you may, of the way that people think about and depict operating models. So, clearly there's lots of different points of view on the subject, and the point becomes, how do we make sense of all this? Now, by the way, because there's so many of you, while we want to make this as interactive as possible, since time is limited, as we are speaking, and I will pause at regular intervals, please use the chat feature liberally. Add to it. Rahul has kindly agreed to monitor this. And Rahul, then as some things come in, if there's some thematic stuff, please call this out. I'm not looking at chat as I'm doing this, so I'll rely on you for this.
Sure, Aris.
In terms of kind of getting a sense of the history and how we got to this point, I'm not going to read through this stuff. Many of you on this call are well versed in this, but perhaps we thought that a quick trip down memory lane might be just useful in terms of how we've gotten where we have. Starting with more of an industrial era view, think of it as Taylorism, the governance models that sort of came in from institutions like the military into the way that we started to think about organizations, to in the late 20th century with process-based models. That's where, frankly, I got introduced to this discipline in the 90s, working on re-engineering, value mapping. And then as we moved towards digital transformation, if you recall the era of Y2K, ERP implementations, I've had a whole host of engagements that come to mind that we were doing around implementing technology and what it meant to operating models and organizations, to what we are currently in the midst of, if you may, which is more of a collaborative network, looking and thinking of things from a broader ecosystem. We've had some wonderful conversations here in the ODF about how do we see things from multiple lenses, focus on the customers, and then what is beginning to emerge for us in this post-pandemic environment with AI infused working and learning. How do we begin to think about how it propels the way we operate, the way we work with each other, and then certainly this idea of looking at things from a broader lens, broader social and environmental lens. We've had some great conversations in this group about the power of stakeholders and impact that we have beyond the traditional measures. So, you know, all of these drivers, if you may, have an impact in the way that organizations and us as consultants begin to think about and apply this in the context of companies wanting to rethink and redesign their operating models. Let me pause here for a second and feel free if anyone has any reaction, comments to this stuff. And Rahul, if anything has come in on the chat, I'd love to sort of get any reactions to what we have shared to date.
Sure, sure, Iris. We have two interesting comments so far. One is from Bernard, and it's a question around what an operating model is. However, the why of designing operating models is equally important. And that is, what goals is operating model design hoping to achieve? So that's one question from Bernard. The other was from Craig, and he is asking, how does an operating model differ from an organization design?
Yep, two very good questions. Certainly, the why matters more than the what, as in any venture. And as Bernard's suggesting, why are we looking to, in most cases, organizations have an operating model, whether it's articulated really well or not. But the question becomes, if you're wanting to think about changing an operating model, what's the rationale for that stuff? And getting clear on that stuff is 100% correct. To the second question around the differentiation between an operating model and organization design, a term that most people get tripped up on, and I see even consultants get tripped on. And you know, the problem in our space is there really isn't an authority, right, that decides on, you know, here's what this is, and that has contributed to the confusion on the topic. The way we think about this, an operating model comes before or sits on top of an organization design. So you've got to define the way that you are bringing your strategy to life. And once you've defined your operating model, only then you get to the making the trade-off decisions that are inherent in organization design. Now, there are plenty of people who would have a different view on this stuff, but we put this out there and we will unpack this a little bit more as we go down into the slides. And in fact, you all will have an opportunity to think about this and offer your own interpretation and definition on this in the first breakout group. Anything else, Rahul, before I move on?
Nothing as such, Harris. I'll be monitoring that. Yeah.
Thank you. Let's move on. So as we think about some of what may be contributing to this confusion, if you may, for some, around the terms, it sort of falls into three buckets for us. First, the complexity and abstraction that takes place. I don't know where we got off on this point that, you know, the operating model should be a one-pager. While I like the simplicity of this, but what that does is, it sort of just leaves a lot of things open for interpretation. So you see in a lot of strategy decks, and I won't hit the firms that tend to do this. So they come up with a strategy, and then the last page is a one-pager on an operating model, as if you can take that one-pager and action it. You really cannot. So there needs to be a lot more done on this. And those who work in this space know that you need to define this at 10,000 foot level, at 1,000 foot level, and then at the ground level in terms of identifying what are the connections, what are the way in which an organization actually works. And that often is not relegated to a one page on a slide. So that adds to some of the confusion in this. Then secondly, the different interpretations, obviously there's, and we'll share a few examples, there's many, many ways that people define this, but I would take that blame ourselves from a consulting industry perspective, it became a source of differentiation and branding for consulting firms. So they would every few years offer their own interpretation of this, that this is our model, and this is what we consider to be in the house or outside the house. And that just added to the confluence of the different views on that subject. And then thirdly, and to the points that, you know, the question that came in on chat earlier is around language. A lot of jargon, technical terms, management concepts, some over the eras, as I referenced on the previous slide that came in, that just, again, created interpretations and confusion for people. So, you know, we and there might be other versions that you may have in terms of, if you do, please put that in chat, what you think may have contributed to all of these various interpretations and versions of the terms out there. Imran, why don't you just kind of walk through maybe some examples that will kind of give it give color to what I've been suggesting here?
Sure. You know, adding to hi everyone. Adding to the complexity and the confusion is, you know, as Harris alluded to, the many different frameworks that are out there, right? So we have three up here for you: the McKinsey, the Bain, and the PwC. McKinsey's is very comprehensive. Now, mind you, these are constantly changing year over year. So they have, you know, three primary elements revolving around people, processes, and structure, which sounds about right. But when you look at the whole thing, it's about 12 elements, which can become overwhelming for many clients. They find this difficult to understand. There's too much there. Then you look at Bain and PwC, and they have simplified framework with 5 to 6 elements, which are a bit simpler. You know, at first glance, they can look quite different. But, you know, when we look at them closer, there's many elements that are in common or overlap. And the truth is, there's many different ways to slice a pie. So no one right approach is correct for every client. At least that's not what we find. Each of the organization here are just emphasizing elements that they think are important. And there are some staples. You know, structure is something you're going to look at. Governance is something you're going to look at. Culture is something you're going to look at. But they're all based on enabling capabilities and linking strategy to execution. That's generally the primary driver for all operating models, linking the business model or the strategy down to execution. And the best framework is one that's going to fit your client needs. Any comments or questions on this slide?
Yes, I have a question. You know, one thing that I've noticed when looking at operating models from a consultant lens, it always seemed to focus more on the organization piece, more of the level 1, 2, and 3 processes, especially from an enterprise level. But it never seemed to take the 5 elements into consideration, such as your locations and your suppliers. I'll say information is there because you can kind of see the flow based on the L1, L2, L3 processes. But can you touch on why there seems to be no mention of the overall, the suppliers and the location piece, as opposed to just the process information and the organization in these three models?
Certainly. Harris, do you want me to take this or you want to?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I think it does. Like, if you look at McKinsey's, they do have structure where they have, you know, box and lines, responsibilities, boundaries, and locations. I mean, there's another model called the operating model Canvas, which is kind of like a really basic framework. And they kind of call out suppliers and locations, and they get into some logistics and stuff. I think it depends on at what level you're doing the operating level. And this kind of confuses a lot of people. Are you doing it at enterprise level? Or are you doing it at a business unit level? So it depends at what level you want to define their granularity. And it can be a little bit challenging because you can get lost in the weeds. So it depends on the application your client needs. But most certainly, if there's a need to define that sort of stuff, then you definitely should and address it through the operating model. But you're going to have to define that with your clients and say, these are the elements that we need to hit because these solve the problems that are the challenges that we need clarity on. So I think the big box guys, they try to stay away from, those types of details, right? I think it's just a marketing thing.
you'll have an opportunity, folks, in the first breakout, which I'm recognizing we are running a little bit behind. So I want to advance this couple of slides, and we'll put you in some groups to debate these questions a little bit in a smaller setting. So go ahead, Imran, why don't you hit this real quick?
Sure, yeah, the slide's very quick. You know, with all the confusion with the frameworks and, you know, the question, what is the right definition for the operating model? And today we haven't seen a perfect definition. I mean, they all do some justice to it, but they're all missing something. You know, McKinsey says the necessary choices together determine how an organization operates. Now, this is just one definition that they have. Whereas, you know, Deloitte says the arrangement of various business components, people, processes, technologies, and governance to ensure delivery of the organization's capabilities. They're all great definitions, but I think the key thing that we see is that there's always a link between business model and strategy down to execution, right? And then the question is, how far do you want to define it? If you define too much, sometimes it becomes overwhelming and burning, but no definition is perfect. So it's really about making sure you're have a common understanding with your client on what you're trying to solve and what the operating model means to both of you while you try to design one.
I see a couple of hands up, and if we haven't addressed them, you want to make a comment or you want to hold this for Bruce and Jim? I think I saw some hands. Bruce, you want to have anything to add?
Yeah, I think that the word frustration with operating models drew me to this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing it in the ones that we're looking at so far, mm-hmm. where my frustration is that my clients and myself seem to look at the world from what we said we want to do in it. And in doing that, we neglect what we designers call the systems. We neglect to really include in our models the surroundings in which we're operating. So a lot of the frustrations I have with clients is that they're stuck in and often and rewarded for, they'll be fired for if they don't stick within the conscious models that somebody else has defined, that some human has defined without taking usually there. And I just am working with a group right now that is getting beyond that. So I know it can be done in the real world. I'll get off.
Well said, Bruce. And certainly, you know, the way we approach this, our own biases, and you've spoken about that in previous groups, that has an impact on the design that takes place. Jim, is it okay if we take your question a little bit later, or is there something that you wanted to add at this juncture?
No, move along.
All right, fantastic. Thank you for that. And if we don't address this, we will pick this up in the readout from the breakout group. I wanted to add, not to add to the confusion, but it would be if we didn't have, there's a few other things that are emerging in this space. So certainly I spoke about OM operating models and target operating models, which is where you're trying to head from your existing operating model to your desired. You also begin to see in literature and in the industry the emergence of the term operating system. And those who come from a technology background know that, you know, it came out from the technology industry in terms of the linkage between hardware and software and the way value gets created by technology. Think about the iPhone's operating system. But it's beginning to come up a lot. The way we think about this is that operating models is a more of a macro concept, while operating system is something that is defined in terms of either at a subunit level or a team's way of working, and that certainly has its place to the point that Imran was making earlier. It gets defined at multiple levels, so certainly it needs to be done, but to confuse the two terms will just, it just sort of adds to that stuff. So keeping the hierarchy correct, so as I said at the beginning to a question that was being asked, think of the hierarchy as operating model, org design, and then operating system. So we offer this as a construct if that works for you. So with that, we want to just perhaps leave you with a point of view, and that's merely what this is, a point of view. we tend to think about operating models in terms of value creation, as Imran spoke about before. And the better way that we've had better luck, I should say, in convincing clients on that is through a few of these terms that you see on this page as a bridge between strategy and operations. The term connective tissue we really like because that's what really sort of holds together, and it's brought from the world of science over into the organization design realm. It's an abstract and visual representation of how value gets, how value is derived and gets delivered to target customers. You know, a couple of biases that we have in this space, it is that if, to the question I think that was from Bernard, or if I'm forgetting, you know, why even do this? You're doing this in terms of some differentiated capabilities that is critical for you to deliver on your strategy. So any work that you do in designing an operating model has to be based on a very solid foundation of the capabilities, certainly driven by the strategy of the organization, and not to minimize this, informed by the cultural context. So how work gets done is often a function and manifestation of the culture of the organization. So those are the things that matter. And the idea that, you know, there is a perfect operating model, we don't subscribe to that stuff. It's highly contextual, as evidenced here. So we'll, if you would allow, we'll leave this here and move into our first breakout sessions. We've done more of the talking than we wanted to do, but I think it was important to sort of set the stage. So we're going to send you off with Tania's assistance into breakout sessions, and we'll have you consider these three questions that you see here. How would you define an operating model? Does the definition matter? What do you find frustrating about it? And third, what key framework components are most important to you as you do your work with your clients? So I know that's a lot, and we probably are being ambitious in terms of what can be done. We'll have 15 minutes for you in this first breakout session. And Tania, take it away.
All right, everybody should be back now.
Awesome. Welcome back, folks. So we had a chance to drop into a few of the rooms, and as expected, there were robust conversations on terminology, interpretation, and things of that nature. And the chat is rich with lots and lots of great questions, as we would have expected. I don't think we'll have enough of a time in this session to nail all these things. So we'll have to, you'll get the archives of the recording with the chat, and we'll have to continue the dialogue. But I would love to get just a few reactions to these questions that we posed for you. So let me just take the first one. How would you define an operating model? And want to get one response from a team, whoever wishes to share their dialogue in the sessions. How did you guys end up thinking about the definition of an operating model? I heard some amazing conversations. I love this. We need parts 2 and 4 of this conversation for sure. Look what we've started, Tania. Anyone have anything to add to OM definition? Someone's got something in chat in terms of how things work. Yes, that's a simple enough conversation.
What was helpful for me is for the folks on my group to clarify that it's really the interactions across the organization. What are the desired interactions across the organization in order to deliver the value to the customer or stakeholder, whomever it is? And so it's, how do the various functions work together? What are the interactions and what's the value?
Absolutely. Well said, Marisa. And the other thing that, you know, we've come to recognize is, apart from the interactions and collaborations that are critical for value delivery, it's also decision-making. How do decisions get made? And then how is that communicated? if we can nail that stuff, that often becomes the bigger hindrance to value creation. So that's fantastic. I know there was some great dialogue on why it matters, why even talk about this stuff and what gets frustrating on this. Anyone have anything to add on the second question about, who cares? Does this all this stuff matter or not matter? Bernard, please.
I would just like to advocate for the human value, the human benefit that we should be considering when we design operating models. The idea being that when we talk about value creation, and you know, my mind goes to value either for customers or for shareholders. But I think we should also really, I think morally and practically, we should be paying attention to what value can we create for the people that work within the organization. Mm-hmm. You know, can we design the operating model in a way that allows people to bring their best to work, in a way that they experience dignity and meaning and community and things like that, in a way that supports justice and equity and inclusion. So it feels to me that that's we should be paying attention to those as outcomes of our design process.
Fair enough. Absolutely a multi-lens approach. And I'll admit that when I got trained in this many, many decades ago, we were perhaps overly fixated on the strategic aspect. You know, what is required to define the operating model, define the organization to advance the strategy? And often, some of the other stakeholders that you mentioned, employees for sure, and others, were not the focus. And I think over the years, we've evolved a little bit on it, but I think more needs to be done, to Bernard's point.
Well, and just to add, I think those are not either or choices, right?
True.
I mean, we know that when people are engaged, the organization becomes more flexible, more productive, et cetera. You know, we know that when they experience a sense of community, there's huge benefit, et cetera.
In terms of the third question, in terms of key framework components that are most important to you, anything that anyone want to add, either come off mute or put that in chat, and then we'll move on to the next segment.
I have a simple one, and I use three prongs to it. One is to the human systems, to not just our organization, but the, you know, the human ecosystems we're part of. The second is that we don't and shouldn't ignore the physical world, the earth, all those other processes that are real, not just perceived, that they become part of it. And then the third is the processes, the ongoing, how things evolve over time. And if it has those three, I find it valid.
Got it. Thank you, Bernard. Bruce, rather. Let's move ahead on a couple of other thoughts. So,
clearly, one thing before we go, I just want to.
Yes,
you know,
Carlos
came up with a good point, and I just want to raise it for everyone, because I thought it was something really interesting, right? And I'll speak to it really briefly, that, you know, he was speaking about a lot of the definitions connect strategy to execution. But he questioned whether how important strategy is these days because of how quickly strategy changes, especially in different industries, and you know, everyone wants to be agile. And he proposed that, you know, really the only thing that's important is value proposition, value creation. You know, I think that's something that's really interesting, that maybe in today's, you know, where we are today, strategy is less important, and maybe it's really just about focusing on value. But just something to think about. Harris, please keep going.
Excellent. All right. So just in terms of, you know, where we are, and if you kind of take a look at the chat group, that is a lot of provocative questions in terms of where we are and where we are headed. Certainly, this last conversation gets to this point. As we're coming out of the post-pandemic, if you may, the AI-driven hybrid environment, the concept of organizations per se, and certainly the way we work together, the way we collaborate to create value, all of that is going through a massive shift. And for us as consultants, to the point that my colleague Imran just made, we need to, or A, keep on the cutting edge of all these confluences happening, and then think about our own, check our own biases and mindsets. I made that point earlier that, you know, I was trained in some different ways and I've had to unlearn this and relearn things that matter for our clients today. And as we do so, I wanted to highlight two podcasts that I've been binging on, much to my wife's chagrin. She wants me to go back on some LinkedIn, some network shows on Netflix, but I've been really enjoying these two. I don't know if by show of hands, anyone familiar with these two podcasts that I'm referencing? I see a few hands come up. By the way, if you were in Philly at the ODF conference, we got a taster of this. Brave New Work is by Rodney Evans and Aaron Dingman. They are doing some very interesting work in terms of the future of the organization, future of HR, operating systems, and things of that nature. And Unpacking Organizations is a very interesting podcast meant for org designers. You know, it's amazing that we've come to this era that there are podcasts meant for folks like us. I didn't even know there were that many of us out there. And it's masterfully delivered by Rupert Morrison, who was one of the keynote speakers at the last conference. So I wanted to plug those two, and to the point made in the chat group, perhaps we can unpack some of the learnings from these two podcasts in a future conversation near you. I want us to move into another quick polling question with Tania's assistance. The key word here is, you know, how would your clients, not yourself, I mean, want to sort of play with this whole idea of us and then our clients, where our clients are today on this topic, how would they define operating model today? And as we do so, as the answers come in, Carlos, love to hear from you.
I wasn't really clear about what we were asking, but I get it now. Thank you. Oh.
My bad, should have clarified.
Okay. I haven't answered yet and it went away. Oh, well.
It's kind of 50-50. If you answered this, if you read this better than what I delivered in my verbal description of it, you're thinking almost 60-40, I should say. Static framework that defines how an organization operates to 40% in terms of a dynamic and adaptable system. It's probably right. I mean, if we were answering it from our viewpoint as org designers, perhaps it could be, I would have expected to see a higher response rate to question number two. But I think that's fair. In fact, I think our clients predominantly sort of, you know, at least most of our clients come at it from a static framework, although that thinking is shifting too. So that's interesting. We just wanted to kind of get a pulse of where people are on this. I want to move us ahead because time is tight to a second breakout session. We've scrambled the groups again, so you get an opportunity to interact with some additional folks on this call. And we're going to send you off for about 10 minutes into this question. And the question really being, what challenges, and you can start the clock on this, Tania, to save some time. What challenges have you faced in developing operating models? And more importantly, what breakthroughs have you had in dealing with and in solving those challenges for your clients? Would love to get a robust dialogue on this. And even if it's one or two things, and I'll give an example. We were working with a large pharma company. We just ended that engagement a few months ago, where they wanted to change all aspects of the operating model. And one of our biases is that you really can't do this all at once. You know, that's not what the doctor ordered. So based on some diagnostics, we discovered that there were two aspects that were most in need of refreshing. One was their capabilities, getting a refinement on the capabilities that they need, the behaviors that are required in order for them to be successful. And the second thing that was getting in the way of value creation was ways of working. So we selected those two aspects and focused on them as they refreshed the operating model. So I'd love for us to get enriched by your own experiences with the clients in terms of challenges and breakthroughs. I think, Tania, we're ready to go into the rooms for our this discussion, if you are.
We are. I will open them now.
Back, folks. Again, overheard some brilliant conversations in terms of really simplifying things and then getting to the heart of what our clients need. We are short on time, as always, but would love to get, I think if I would ask is for people to just put some stuff, the key learnings in chat, that would be fantastic. Probably have time for one comment if someone feels so inclined, come off mute and share what you may have discovered via the dialogues and the breakout. Don't be shy. If not, chat's fine too. Go ahead, Bernard.
I think we came to consensus that the choices that are made in the operating model mm-hmm. do have an impact on the experience that people have, their ability to get the work done, their level of engagement, et cetera, right? You know, and that it is hard for people to have a sense of how the current choices are impacting them because mm-hmm. they're like fish in water. Mm-hmm. They don't know that they live in water, you know, until they're out of it kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. So the classic choice dilemma and a trade-off, which is inherent in any operating model and or org design, design choices. So fantastic. I'm seeing some good stuff come up. You know, I would encourage you all to look at the chat either now or when you get the recording. There's a lot of wonderful questions, perhaps not the answers you were looking for, but certainly questions that have come up. I wanted to land our conversation here with just a few thoughts. You know, certainly as evidenced by what you experienced here during this conversation, this debate will continue and evolve, and certainly we can well imagine that if we have a continued conversation on this, as some others have suggested, then some of you may want to volunteer for that stuff, and ODF will be open to that. It will be helpful for us to continue our learning on this. You know, just a few points. You know, there are various models out there. I saw people asking questions about the known models and those that are commercial models that are out there. I mean, our viewpoint on this is that at some level, all models are wrong. Some are useful. I think what you all need to decide is what matters in the work that you're doing. One of the things that guides us in our work is what we call MIT, the most important thing. And in this realm, I would suggest that the question for your clients is, you know, what do you want the OM to answer for the company? What's mm-hmm. getting in the way? What is not allowing them to deliver on the value and the potential that is inherent in their strategy and business model? And those are the things to address. Someone was talking in one of the groups about, it just seems that if we go around the circle and all the various aspects of the operating model, it'll take forever to do that. And the example I gave for our pharma client is we just chose the two things that were most broken. Those were their MITs. We focused on that. And the rest of it is going to evolve as it is, given the great flux that we are in. So our hope is that through this dialogue, we have ideally increased your learning, maybe had you think about things in a different way. Hopefully we've added to the clarity and not added to the confusion. But as I said, this topic cannot be done justice in such a short session. So we are going to keep the dialogue going on the ODF page and the business page. And Tanya can speak to that stuff when she closes. But I think as in closing, what I would ask from you is just maybe just lock in the learning in the chat with your biggest aha from the session that we've had, a thought process that you've had. I think that'll be helpful for you and it'll be helpful for our colleagues here. I want to end this by thanking Imran, who's been my co-designer in this conversation. Hopefully this has been of value to you. And with a couple of minutes to spare, I'll bring it back. Rahul, if you want to say anything, and then back to Tanya for the closing.
Thanks, Harris and Imran. Fabulous session. And just seeing, monitoring the chats, it was just amazing to see the discussions and the diversity of opinions and perspectives. So I'm really hoping that we're going to have a branching out of more sessions related to operating models in our community conversations. So looking forward to that as well. Over to you.
And I don't want to be unresponsive. There are lots of things. We'll get a download of the questions, but if anyone wants to continue in the dialogue, leaving our contact information here so we can answer the questions. We'll try to answer them on the, so stay tuned to the ODF page, where we'll try to keep some of this dialogue going. Tanya, over to you.
All right, well, thank you, the three of you, for your time putting this together. This is all organized by our volunteer community engagement and learning team. I see in this chat, Carlos has shared that he can see a mapping session coming up out of this, and he's one of the co-leads of that community engagement team. So all of these presentations that we do are just because someone in the community raises their hand and says they're willing to share some information. So if you have another idea in the future, please let me know or reach out through the website to the info@organizationdesignforum.org. I'll send an email out to everyone who registered and let you know when we've got the recordings posted. And we'll hang on the line here for a few minutes if anybody has any questions. Other words, I wish you all a wonderful rest of your day, and that going into the start of the holiday season tomorrow with the first, the Hanukkah, and things get going from here, that you all have a safe and wonderful season coming up. If I don't see you on one of the conversations next week or the following, the best
to you. Thanks, Imran. Thanks, Harris and Rahul. Great conversation today and possibilities for more.